Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampshire, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today, thanks. And we want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the ongoing contest for spiritual athletes. We will explain the rules of apotheosis and the podium of spiritual selfhood. Listen as we discuss the choreography of the alchemical process that changes lead to gold. To demonstrate spiritual understanding is the highest human accomplishment. It is exhibited by an individual's ability to heal disease and forgive sin. The only way to test your understanding of divine law is to apply it to life by ringing it on the anvil. Accept the challenge and go for the gold. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I thought what I would do before we start talking about spiritual athletes, though, is give our listeners just a brief history about the Olympics. And the Olympic Games, by definition, were games that were held in ancient times on the plain of Olympia in Greece. They were held every 4 years. It was a time for laying aside political and religious differences as athletes from all the Greek cities and districts competed. Now, the Olympic symbol is widely known throughout the world as the Olympic ring. And this the Olympic rings were actually created by a gentleman, Pierre du de Coubertin. And they remain a global representation of the Olympic movement and its activity. Now, the five rings actually represent the five continents. And the rings are all equal dimension. And when they're interlaced in between each other from left to right, of course, everybody, I'm sure, is aware of all the colors. But it's blue, black, red on the top and yellow and green on the bottom. So according to Wikipedia, the meaning of the Olympic symbol expresses the activity of the Olympic movement and represents the union of the five continents and the meeting of athletes from throughout the world at the Olympic Games. So, Swami, I guess let's get started about spiritual athletes. And how do we become a spiritual athlete? What's the training involved?
Yeah, well, what does it mean to be a spiritual athlete in the game of life? And what is the training involved for that? Well, according to my reality system or the way I think about things, that there are two different approaches that we can have. One is secular and the other is spiritual. And it's all going to be dependent upon what resource of energy that I identify with. What is it that I draw from and use as my source of sustenance and validation? Because I think a big part of the Olympics is really not so much whether you win or you lose, but it really is, it's how you play the game. It's your level of consciousness, your degree of awareness. And one of the things I always really notice is the difference between what I call a true champion and somebody who has a hidden agenda, who has something other than the love of what it is that they're doing that is motivating them. Because a true champion, whether they win or they lose, it really doesn't, they don't get inflated by winning and they don't get deflated by losing. That they're just enjoying what it is that they're doing. And it's the ones that become inflated because they won and then they are just devastated because they've lost, that have ulterior motives. And so this concept of becoming a spiritual athlete, for me, reflects my level of consciousness. And what makes you a spiritual athlete really is just the sheer love that you have for life itself. And I think the training for that is that we have to figure out what love is. And we've talked about this a number of times, because there's a difference between what we call human love and divine love. And the human love is dualistic. So there are two forces. So there's a struggle between love and hate. But divine love comes from unity consciousness. And there's only one, and it's only good. And it is the light of eternal life. It is loving kindness. And that's the thing that motivates the spiritual athlete.
Now, I know there's probably a lot of people out there that have probably watched the Olympics, and they see these athletes after they're done competing, and it can be a pretty emotional experience, as we've all have witnessed. So my question to you is, I'm sure these athletes, they go through hundreds of hours of training and practicing and coaching. So and then at the very end of their competition, they have this feeling, you know, these emotional feelings. So would the same be true of somebody who's on a spiritual path, a spiritual athlete, that they experience emotionality maybe as intense as an Olympic athlete would?
Well, to answer your question, how you approach your life will determine your place on the podium, kind of a thing. And that's what I was talking about, this thing of your level of consciousness and your degree of awareness. Because if our identity is pretty much bound up in our physical bodies, and we use material means, human will, and emotion, then with regard to your level of consciousness, you're kind of competing a bronze level of consciousness. And if you opt for a mental approach and you use intelligence, passion, and ambition, that will put you on the silver level of awareness or level of consciousness. And if you do opt for spiritual understanding, you will work with wisdom, compassion, and enthusiasm. And that's what brings home the gold, this concept of total consciousness, unity consciousness that we talk about. But it is by far your optimal position of performance. Because what it really mirrors is when the athlete is in the zone, when the athlete is in harmony with divine law. And that's where the whole thing of intimidation comes in with regard to competing or athletics, is that when the athlete is in the zone, when you are operating from spiritual understanding, you've accessed a part of the mind that is doing many things at once. You're plugged into resources of energy that are inexhaustible. So you don't get tired, you don't make mistakes. Then there's this thing called intimidation. And what happens with intimidation is that the mind shrinks back into either rational thinking, where you would use your mental means and intelligence, concentration, or if it slips even further back, you will fall back into unconscious patterns and conditioned responses, which would be your emotional response. And that is by far your worst level of consciousness.
So if you were to coach somebody for spiritual understanding, starting on this path of becoming a spiritual athlete, what might be one of the first things you would advise them to do?
Well, if you're going to start to make the transition and go from material means to spiritual understanding, the first thing you have to do is change your values. You really have to give up your belief in matter and in human will. And then you have to trust or develop what's called faith in divine law. And that by far is probably the most difficult transition that we have to make. Because you have to go from something that's visible and tangible, or invisible but tangible, and now rely on something that's invisible and intangible. And with the Kriya Yoga that we teach, developing this primary relationship with your divinity is fundamental. And there are practices that we can enlist in order to develop that capability. But initially, the way it translates is that you want to let go of the unnecessary, and you want to start to focus on the necessary. Because the concept of spirit is your number one life-sustaining force. It is the thing that is essential for supporting life. And without that primary relationship, we expire. And then as our beliefs start to move away from that starting point or that platform or that foundation, that's how things start to get diminished in proportion to the further we get away from our relationship with the divine. And that's one of the reasons why this whole secular concept of how we approach our lives today by taking the concept of God out of the equation is so detrimental. And in fact, without the concept of God, it really doesn't work.
So if somebody starts on this road to become a spiritual athlete, how would they be able to benchmark if they're on a road to success?
I would measure that by the amount of joy that you started to experience with whatever it is that you're doing. Because if you're connected to something that is pure, powerful, and sacred, and it is reinforcing a feeling in your physical body that you're good enough, that the universe loves you, and you feel the benefit of internal support, and your inner environment fills up this feeling of bliss, wonder, and awe. And your exchange of energy is that you are pouring out this concept of loving kindness. Then to me, that is the indicator that you are spiritual path.
Now, so obviously in the Olympic Games, we have people who win and we have those athletes that lose. So do you think that there is such a thing as a winning and a losing situation when it comes to being a spiritual athlete?
Good question. When it comes to spirit, there is only good. We're all winners. That is the one thing that there is no lack, and there should be absolutely no concern that we could ever fall short of the mark. That we're all winners. We all have the capacity for this gold recognition. But it's really up to us whether we choose to get on the podium, or if we turn our back to it. Because that's the concept in Kriya Yoga that we call Namaste. We're all equally divine. We're just not all equally sensitive or aware of our divinity. So we kind of have this inheritance for this gold treasure. And it's really up to us to acknowledge it.
So I think it's about that time. We need to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. So Swami, we're talking about winning and losing and what it takes to become an athlete. And in this case, we're talking about becoming a spiritual athlete. Well, that's going to take a lot of practice. So what does that look like when we're doing it?
Yeah, I like the old saying, practice makes perfect. And of course, practice makes perfect isn't true, but perfect practice makes perfect. And this concept of becoming spiritual is becoming more and more clear to me, that the role of the causal spiritual body holds the template for perfect creation, that this concept of divine law or spirit as the creative principle puts down just perfect creation. And it's really our role to try and harmonize ourselves with it. The concept here is that the human must go to the divine. And it's kind of like if you were in a boat and somebody threw you a rope and they were on a dock and you started to pull on the rope, you wouldn't be bringing the dock to the boat. You would be bringing the boat to the dock, because the concept of thy will be done, the will of the divine, is perfect creation. It's when we interfere with that, with our human beliefs, oftentimes that creates an interference pattern. And then we wind up with what's called abnormal conditions. We wind up with discord. To practice to become a spiritual athlete really is about letting go of a personal sense of I and identifying with this spiritual sense of selfhood, which becomes impersonal. And the other thing I think that's really interesting about unity consciousness is that there is no competition. That on a spirit level, we're all one. And so from that perspective, then there isn't any such thing as winning or losing.
Well, we might have some listeners out there that may want to know, how do we lose this sense of I and then still live in this world?
Yeah, that's the process of moving from what's called material means or material beliefs and human thinking and moving into the realms of what's called spiritual understanding, starting to see everything from the perspective of wholeness and completeness, which is very different. And that's where a practice like Kriya Yoga becomes really helpful, because it gives you the tools in order to make this in consciousness. And you're moving your identity from basically seeing yourself as separate to seeing yourself as an intricate part of this greater whole. It's not really a loss of self-conscious awareness. It's a more inclusive point of identification. But in the final analysis, in true reality, and this concept of truth, that there's only one, and anything else kind of misses the mark. That was the concept of sin. And I like in the opening how you talked about, to demonstrate spiritual understanding is the highest human accomplishment. It is exhibited by an individual's ability to heal disease and forgive sin. The only way to test your understanding of divine law is to apply it to life by ringing it on the anvil. Yeah, when you bring in the concept of healing, that's what takes all of the ambiguity out of what it is that you call being spiritual. Because the power that comes with spiritual understanding is all about expelling error. It's all about destroying sin, sickness, disease, and death.
So, Swami, I'm interested in finding out, what do you mean when you say to ring it on the anvil?
Yeah, that's kind of a blacksmith term, that when a blacksmith makes a sword or a knife, they spend all of this time cutting and tempering steel. They polish it and all of that. And then, and not until they test it by ringing it on the anvil, they take it and they whack it on the anvil, do you know if all your work is really worthy? That sword will perform in battle, kind of a thing. Because if it's over-tempered and it's too brittle, it'll break like glass. And if it's under-tempered and it's too soft, it'll bend. So there's just this window of opportunity that you have to get it right. And you don't really know that you got it right until you test it. And I think the same is true with any spiritual practice. And using this concept of healing as your litmus test gives you something to work with.
That kind of reminds me of, I remember watching the sports channel as a child with my dad. I believe it's ABC Sports, I think, that they, the beginning of the program, you know, they had this saying, they would say, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And so what is that look like for us spiritual athletes? What's the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat?
Well, I think the real thrill of victory is if you can maintain your elevated consciousness throughout whatever it is you're undertaking, if you can maintain this relationship with the divine, and you have that understanding that you are in the image and likeness of divine law. That to me is probably the best prize that you could get for whatever it is that you're doing. And if you fall back into rational thinking, human thinking, material means, material beliefs, or you fall back into emotionality, your unconscious patterns and conditioned responses, that to me is the agony of defeat. You kind of miss the mark And that's also the whole concept of what we call sin, that you've fallen back into fear and limitation. You've fallen back into particles and waves. And basically, you're in a false sense of existence when we do. And a lot of us, we stay there, and we could be in a false sense of existence, and we could be struggling with conditions. You could have an abnormal condition. You could be sick or have some sort of disease. But the reverse is also true, that you could be in a false sense of existence and have a condition that you're somewhat pleased with, that you might be demonstrating a reasonable proximity of good health. But when you are spiritual and you are aligned with truth, and you are thinking with divine law, with you are thinking with divine mind, then of course you are in a true sense of existence, and all you can be is in harmony with perfect health.
So I want to ask you a question that came to mind, and it's about competition. Is there such a thing as healthy competition? Understanding that it does derive from the material world, but is it possible to be a spiritual athlete and still engage in healthy competition, whether it's on the playing field or in a work environment?
Oh, I definitely think so. And I think anytime you are approaching your life with a sense of wisdom, and you have this sense of enthusiasm, and you are experiencing the joy and the love of whatever it is that you're doing, that you are reflecting divine law. Human activity can be a form of worship, that if we are doing things for the glory of the Creator, is really optimal. It's when we fall back into a personal sense of I, and we start to rely on human thought, human beliefs, is when it really starts to unravel and fall apart for us. But to uphold going for the gold, that you really want to maintain the sense of connectedness to divine law, so that you are in harmony with the will of God.
So I have another question for you. I'm sure the Olympic athletes, as part of their practice, is that they probably engage in some positive thinking and visualization. Are these tools that you suggest that we use to become spiritual athletes?
Well, that type of mental work really reinforces what we had talked about, the mental approach. But to be spiritual as an athlete, to think with truth, or thinking with truth as truth, removed from the false testimony of the material senses, that's what brings you far from the changing conditions of personal mentality, and you're established in spiritual sense, which is the oneness of unity consciousness. And this, for me, that is the gold of pure consciousness. This is the concept of when the athlete is in the zone, when the athlete is in the flow state, which is your optimal position of performance. And then what we talked about, intimidation, when the mind shrinks back and we fall back into fear and anger, emotionality, or rational thinking. So the whole key is to try and keep ourselves at this elevated sense of awareness. And that, to me, is how you really go for the gold.
All right. Well, I think we have to start closing down our program. So listeners, I invite you out there to visit our website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. So once you're there, you can make posts about this show or give us ideas for future shows you'd like to do. But keep those comments coming. We do enjoy hearing from you. Be sure to tune in next week. We have another great show for you. We're going to be exploring the Academy of Make-Believe. And also be sure to look for our Wednesday night 5 o'clock Facebook Live sessions that we do every week. So, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to wish everybody good luck on their quest for gold and unity consciousness. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.